The reaction at Crystal Palace has always made me so suspicious.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday it is today, James. Tottenham Day. And a little bit of Tottenham, a little bit of West Ham.
I blame Lauren Harris because I thought we should probably get the old Champions League quiz in before Champions League kicked off again.
So yeah, yeah. You got your digs in at her saying that you're going to talk to her in a couple of weeks when RB Leipzig put Liverpool out. Well, didn't quite go to plan so far. Obviously,
well,
one
done
more game
to Lauren
to
and Liverpool for the clean sheet last night, although they did have one. I saw Leipzig had one effort that hit the inside of the post and rolled along the line, got away with it a little bit. But that's a very good win for Liverpool, who played the game in Budapest. And I've just found out, I didn't even know myself, we're playing there as well on Thursday.
Okay.
So I thought we were still going to Austria to play Wolfsburg up in Europa League last 32. But it's been moved to the same stadium. So we're playing there. I tell you what, if fans could go, I'd love to have gone there. Nice. I'm always hungry anyway, so I should imagine that would go really well for me. It's a nice new stadium they got there in Budapest, Puskás Stadium.
Budapest is a lovely city. I've been once. Really, really nice.
Really. Is it like Prague? In my head,
similar.
It's like Prague.
Very, very similar. Yeah.
Loved Prague. If I spent more than 48 hours in Prague, I'd fucking die, mate.
You'd be in jail or something. Let's start with Spurs, shall we? Because there's more obviously going on. I mean, we're in a good place right now. And then we can wrap up with the Planet FPL Derby. It's the first time I'm going into the Planet FPL Derby where even if you beat us, you don't go above us. So and it actually takes quite a bit of the pressure off psychologically, thinking about that. And also that we're not right at the bottom of the table and what have you. Did you take anything away from that Man City game? Is there anything you're just like, you know what, City, let's move it on?
Did I take anything away from it? Okay, let's do some positives for a change. So, Japhet Tanganga did okay at right back. I can completely see why Mourinho picked him. I spoke to you about the fact that he doesn't have to worry about being on the ball in games like this. Just concentrate and defend. I thought his performance at right back was fine. I don't think Doherty would have done any better in that particular game, put it that way. Reguilón is close to fitness. I'm picking something not from the game now. Although apparently he's not travelling to Hungary for the Europa League game. So I would expect Ben Davies still to play against you at the weekend, which is definitely a plus for yourselves. There were times, particularly in the first half, where we actually created 4-on-4s on the break. I didn't hate the way we played in the first half, actually. I can accept that when you play against City, you're going to spend a lot of time without the ball and you need to narrow the pitch and stuff. And I'm not stupid. I get that. And I know from previous occasions that's the best way to try and beat them. But we didn't, when we had the odds kind of 4-on-4, 4v5, City shut the door themselves. They went very narrow themselves. And Lamella, who is a player that I feel probably needs to play at the moment for two reasons. One, he can see a pass. Two, he actually can press off the ball. He gets stuck in and inspires others around him a little bit. But he really does overthink the pass. Sometimes he can be in a tight space and he finds a really nice pass. But when the obvious one is on, he takes too long. It's the same reason why Dele Alli got thrown out of the team 6 months ago in the first place. Takes too long to make the decision. His very simple Mourinho philosophy is, if Son or Kane is space, you give them the ball. There is no second fault. Give them the ball. It takes too long to make the decision. But I thought his performance was okay. Sonny was quiet. Harry looks fit, which is good. I mean, his free kick, which he hasn't scored a free kick, I don't think, since the famous last-minute winner at Villa, his first Premier League goal. The goal that kind of got him his place in the team, essentially, back in 2014. I don't think he's scored one since. It was some effort. He's got Ederson absolutely beat there.
Hit it really
and
well.
That's the game plan, isn't it? Go 1-0 up and then, as I said, we'll have a chance and it'll be early in the game and you've got to take it. That's not even a chance, but we could have gone 1-0 up. I thought the first half performance was okay. And then obviously you can see at that point, you've got to stay in the game. And you're thinking a little bit like when City played Brighton. If you can get to 1-0 with 15 minutes to go, they start to sit off City. And the difference between an us and a Brighton is, if the ball falls around the box, we've got people like Kane who score, right? So you stay in the game. Then the second goal comes like immediately half-time and game's finished from there. From there, it could be 4-5, anything they wanted, really. They couldn't be asked. We were done for. Defensively, we're shite. All of the centre-backs are crap. Which I always feel bad saying that, particularly about Toby, because Toby has been so good for us. But a little bit like what happened with Vertonghen, like the best days are definitely gone. He doesn't know what he's doing with them centre-backs at all. He hasn't got a clue whether he's picking Sanchez, Alderweireld, Dyer, Roden. He knows. The point is with it, you say they're not good enough, the centre-backs. Generally, they're not. But we've seen on occasions, particularly, I think, Alderweireld and Dyer this year, played Arsenal at home, played Man City at home, did well, right? They didn't look flaky then. They looked decent. The problem is, for Mourinho's style, go back to the Chelsea team of 05-06. What did he have at the back? John Terry and Cavallio. If you're comparing that to what he's got now at Tottenham, or even like with Lucio and Walter Samuel, I think were the pairing at Inter Milan, you can't compare that to what Tottenham's got now. So Mourinho's strategical structure in terms of absorbing pressure defensively, that's great when you've got two of the best centre-halves in the world. We ain't even got two of the best centre-halves in fucking London, mate. I think Arsenal might have better ones. And that's why it's not really working at the moment. As I said in one of the pods earlier, Tottenham defenders are individually making mistakes, but the more pressure you're under, the more chance there is of you making mistakes, right? Ruben Diaz has made one mistake since he joined Manchester City, the Mo Salah penalty last week. And you'd say, yeah, it's been great. Would he look so great in Tottenham's team at the moment? Is he an improvement on what we've got? Unquestionably. But would he have made more than one mistake? Probably. Because you're under more pressure.
Sheer volume of pressure, you're right.
So, there's the easy fix for Tottenham with the fixtures that are coming up now. And to be fair to Mourinho, he's tried to do it. I was so pleased to see Ndombele in central midfield at the weekend. It's that. Get
in
him
the
on the ball.
Second half, right? It was more in the second... As in, sorry, you wanted to see him alongside Højbjerg rather than taking the role that Lamela played.
That's where he did play in the first half. He brought Sissoko on at half-time and moved Ndombele up higher, which didn't work. And then once it went 2-0, he sacrificed Ndombele and he went, I'll save you for another day. The game was done. I get that completely. But yeah, it's that. It's Ndombele and Højbjerg. He's beginning to try it and trust it a bit now. And that's going to give Tottenham better ball retention during the game. Because Ndombele has moments and you think, oh, we can glide past people here. And that carries us forward up the pitch. And if you've got four players ahead of him, particularly with no Reguilón at the moment, because there's no output from the fullback positions, then that makes us a little bit better offensively. The other plus, actually, was Gareth Bale when he came on. Actually looked all right. I mean, the effort he had on goal, the little jinking feet, that was like old Gareth. A little bit like the effort against you in the 3-3 draw. And that's why I want him to play, because he can have that moment of magic. Bergwijn or Lucas ain't going to give me none of that. Gareth might not give me as much off the ball and stuff, but he can do that in a moment. And that's why I would want to see him given a go. Reports, I think Adams put it in the Tottenham Slack channel, that it looks like a lot of his family's going back to Madrid in April in preparation for going back. I mean, it's fairly clear Tottenham aren't going to buy him in the summer. But I'd still want him in and around the team. And he's got to get minutes. I was pleased that Mourinho brought him on. The game's dead. Give him some minutes.
Yeah,
he's never going to get fit if you don't give him minutes.
The game before that, he didn't get into the squad and Mourinho said he didn't like what he sees in training. So it must be hard as a player.
That on Saturday.
When someone blows hot and cold.
I don't know if it was because it was Manchester City, but actually the game situation kind of warranted the feeling of go out there and get some minutes. But he actually put the shift in. He went and tracked back and helped... Particularly Ben Davies, he actually ended up on the left-hand side quite a bit towards the end of the game. And he tracked back and stuff. And his performance was fine. He looked fit. It was the first time in months. And listen, it's difficult to tell in 20 minutes. And it might have been that he's had a mental thing where he's gone, we could get battered here. I need to put the shift in. But he looked fine in those 20 minutes or so. He didn't look like he was going to win us the game or get us back into it. But fitness levels looked absolutely fine. I hope that he plays on Thursday, and I hope there's some involvement for him again on Sunday. I would love him to rock up at your place now with Bale and Son either side of Kane. Go for it for the next few games.
Yeah, I mean, it's got nothing to lose, have you? So worth a consideration.
Also minutes for Dele Alli, getting integrated back into the squad. Finally, it looks like, but he looks so far off the pace. I mean, he looks more off the pace than Bale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
those are the positives. Do I have to do negatives? Because we haven't got that long.
he's sitting in the dugout. We know what it is, Jay. You watched the West Ham game on Monday, and Sheffield United had a number of chances. Did you at any point feel like we weren't going to win that game?
No.
So you got the same perspective on it that I had. It just felt under
control.
Not
for a moment. Even if they'd have equalised at 1-0, no.
We just turned up tempo.
Didn't have any concerns for you winning the game.
It was fascinating because the WhatsApp group that I'm in with a couple of the lads, the apps and even the way that BT or Sky or whoever it was showed the formation. Most of the app SofaScore and what have you set us up as a 3-4-2-1 with Creswell, Dawson and Diop as centre-backs and then Soufal and Johnson on the wings and then Declan Rice and Souček in the middle with Bowen up top and then Lanzini and what's his face in behind. But I never thought we would line up like that. I thought it would be a 4-2-3-1 with Ben Johnson just playing higher up because he had proved that he can have some good and interesting attacking threat. But I didn't really think, looking at the way the team sheet was laid out, A, that Bowen would play higher than Jesse Lingard. I thought Jesse Lingard would play up top. And B, that we'd stick to a 4 at the back as the formation. But then some people thought we were going to try and match up against Sheffield United. The interesting thing is we talked about Fornals as seems to be out of favour and lost his place. Benrahma got dropped as well. But there is a lot of depth there in those attacking positions now. And a lot of them seem to have built up a bit of chemistry and can play well with each other. Jesse Lingard seems to be spearheading it. So interesting. I think against Spurs, I'd prefer the physical presence of Antonio than Jesse Lingard up top, and I'm pretty sure if he's fit, he'll come back in. But it was an interesting game. We controlled it so well on the whole. So,
to clarify, are you saying this was a back three or it wasn't?
I didn't think it was. It was back four.
That's not what I watched.
I thought it was definitely
a back three, in my opinion. I think it can be susceptible a little bit when you have quite a bit of the ball because Creswell really pushes on from left-sided centre-back. Whereas obviously Craig Dawson won't do that from the right hand side.
Yeah. But
for me, that was definitely Johnson and Soufal as wing backs, mate. In your opinion, are you saying Creswell was left back and Johnson was left midfield?
Was further forward, yeah.
I think it's just, and we saw that early in the season.
It's with the ball, without the ball, right?
Yeah, with Creswell.
And to be fair, you're right. Because where Sheffield United at the start of the game had their success was getting the ball in the channel between Soufal and Dawson on that side, just pinging it in and letting someone run into the space. So, yeah, from that kind of point of view, I do get it. There was space there, maybe. It's with the ball, without the ball.
Think back to when you played that system earlier in the season with Masuaku. It was always the double up on the left-hand side where Creswell would get really high with Masuaku. Even going back to the first Planet FPL derby, it was that left side the whole game, Creswell and Masuaku was the problem. Doesn't come the same on the right-hand side. There's a little bit of imbalance there. Can't expect Dawson to come out with the ball in the same way as Creswell.
No.
So I think, like many teams now as well, you have systems that move within and without the ball. So you could make a case that with the ball, Johnson's playing more like a left winger. I couldn't describe Ben Johnson as a left winger personally, mate. I mean, he looks uncomfortable just playing on the left full stop, in my opinion. I would not be unhappy if you rocked up against us with the same team at the weekend. Well, yeah, my opinion is you won't as well. One is obviously Big Fires will probably be fit and tear us apart. But I do think, yeah, this was a matchup for Sheffield United.
I think I'd like to see
they
Fornals
are.
Play.
A lot of teams still decide to match up against Sheffield United and counter those overloads that they look for. Because if they don't do you in the wide areas, they ain't scoring.
No.
That's how teams look at it.
I think I want to see us line up as a 4-2-3-1 against you. So it's back four as standard. Creswell, Diop, Dawson, Soufal, Rice and Souček with Fornals, Bowen, Lingard, Antonio. That's how I want to line up against you. I think we need the work rate of Fornals and Rice. But if Rice can help control and dominate midfield, keep winning the ball back and dictate the tempo of the game, then we've got a chance. But I think we need big performances from Fornals and Rice at the weekend to be able to get anything out of the game. And Antonio, he needs to just be in bully mode. Just go up against your centre-backs and just have the attitude that I'm going to just barge you around for the entire 90 minutes and see what you can do out of it. We really need to focus on that.
I think the deciding factor on the result is probably his fitness.
Yeah.
If honestly, if he's not in the team, I fancy beating you. If he's in the team, I would make you slight favourites.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game, though. It's going to be one that...
Why is it going to be a good game? It's fucking Mourinho's Tottenham rocking up. Why is it going to be a good game? It's 12 o'clock on a Sunday. It's going to be shit, mate.
I'm looking forward to it. I just feel like I'm looking forward to watching and seeing how it unfolds. Even if it's a shit game, it'll be enjoyable to watch, to see how it unfolds, just for fun. I don't often go into Planet FPL derbies looking forward to the game. I just think it just messes with my head. I do think West Ham have a problem against the top six, like a big six, like I've said before, inferiority complex. We need to get over that. So if we don't get caught up in thinking, oh, here, there's Son and there's Kane and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, yeah, you mentioned Antonio. Don't forget, 15 minutes, you were 3-0 up. It could happen again.
To be fair, mate, we were still 3-0 up 70 minutes later.
Yes, true. True.
And then Antonio went off and I thought, well, that's okay. The game is 1-0. I'm sure that's what our players thought as well. I think it's a dangerous game for you. And I would relate it mentally to what I've been through a lot against playing against Arsenal in the past, that I just know that optimism versus Arsenal probably means I should be cautious. Exactly. And caution against Arsenal often means I should be optimistic. And this is your Arsenal game, if you will. And there is definitely a danger for a club like yours to be thinking, we're better than Tottenham. We're going to win this. And to be honest, if that's how you feel at the moment, I'm not going to argue with it. I don't think there's a lot between the two teams.
You've still got to perform on the day.
Yeah, and I think there's something about playing a game where perhaps expectations are a little bit lower than what you'd expect is possibly beneficial for Tottenham at the moment. Like most West Ham fans will believe you're going to win on Sunday, I would think. Even if they don't say it outwardly because they're thinking, majority of you inside must be thinking, yeah, we're winning this game on Sunday. Because you're very right to say that we're on match at the
moment. It's not that we're going to win. It's more that we should win. On paper, if we play to our best, you play to our best, we should win.
I don't think it's a should win. I don't think that at all. You have to look at the games that Tottenham have lost this season. So there hasn't been anything in there that's particularly Mickey Mouse, I want to say. Brighton, you could make a case for, but then obviously Kane was missing. The rest of the games lost have been to what? Liverpool twice, Chelsea, Everton opening day, you can kind of scrap that one off the list as well. And is that it? Have we lost any other games on top of that?
You've lost 5 or 6 this season. 6 or 7, actually.
I've got to check. There's obviously something I've decided to wipe from my memory quite rightly, I should imagine. But other than the Brighton result, which again obviously had no Kane, Tottenham haven't been losing to anyone outside the top six, I think. I also feel like you should write that Everton game off from opening day as well. And you could make a case for Everton to be big six. But then you could obviously make that case for yourselves at the moment as well.
You know what? If we're writing off opening day of the season games, then I'd like to write ours off as well, if you don't mind.
But I don't think anybody looks at West Ham season and does include that Newcastle game anymore, yeah, mate.
Crazy.
Why would you? So yeah, two losses to Liverpool. Lost to Man City, lost to Chelsea, lost to Brighton, lost to Everton. Yeah, those are the... Have we only lost six? How have we only lost six games? You sure that's right?
We've lost one less than you, so five, six or seven.
I think it is right. And you've only lost five, have you?
Mm.
Should we just call it a draw now and fuck off?
Listen, I'd take a draw right now. I'd take a 1-1. I'm going to predict a 1-1.
Why? I wouldn't take a draw now.
just don't
me there ain't me going to West Ham at any point in my life being happy with a draw.
Yeah. A home draw against Big Six, 1-1.
Once the game starts, might make me think, oh, okay, they've been better than us. I'm happy to walk away with a draw here or whatever. But pre-game, there isn't any me thinking draw's a good result on Sunday. Fuck that. Okay, I'm already writing the league season off. There'll be some who've still got hopes for top four. Right, well, if you've still got hopes for it, these games need to be won. Don't make any excuses. You're a good team now, mate. You ain't a great team.
Yeah, agreed. But we're coming against Tottenham. We've got a Harry Kane, one of the best strikers in the world, Son. You've got Lloris, decent goalkeeper. I think a draw against you guys is a good result. It's not what I want, but I would take a draw right now.
I'm looking to win, expecting to get beat. There you go. Does that help?
Nah, not at all.
If you ask me to pin me for a prediction now, and we'll obviously do this again on Friday, once we got a bit more info. But at the moment, I think draw would be the common sense prediction for the game. The bookies can't split the two teams. But even just looking at the two teams there and going through defeats and going, not really lost many between us. You could see it being a draw.
Yeah, 1-1, something like that, quite comfortably. Mm.
If Reguilón's fit and Antonio's not, I fancy us to win though.
Then you've probably got a better chance for sure. You wanted to talk managers a little bit. Are you in wishful thinking mode that Jose might?
No, I'm not in wishful thinking mode because I'm well aware that whatever happens with Mourinho certainly isn't going to happen until probably after that Manchester City Cup final at the earliest. I.e. gets battered 5-0 that day and we're 10th in the league. They might just decide, fuck you and fuck me, just go now. So he's staying until the end of the season. I think that's fairly certain. There were two people who have been strongly mentioned. This is the kind of the swing in the last week where prior to West Brom, there was a lot of noise on social media and stuff, but not many names getting mentioned. There are two names being strongly linked with the Tottenham job now. One is Julian Nagelsmann, who's manager of Red Bull Leipzig. One irony about that with Nagelsmann is Mourinho couldn't coach a team to play with a fucking back five. He just can't. He's incapable. And it's what Nagelsmann, it's more of a back three. It's kind of similar to what Chelsea set up at the moment now. It's more like a 3-1-4-2, which is not quite the same as Chelsea because it's normally just a one further forward. But he likes to get his two defensive wide players really high, basically. And then his wide players play inverted and stuff. So the system that he would probably bring is the system that Mourinho just cannot get a fucking turn out of this team. There's a lot of Tottenham people who still look at the team and go, even like with Doherty, say what Bradley says all the time. He's a wing-back, isn't he? He's not a full-back. If you could get Reguilón and Doherty playing as decent wing-backs, you might get a turn out of Tottenham in a back three. But it always becomes a back five with Mourinho, doesn't it? Can't coach a team to play a back five. So that's an interesting thing about him. Nagelsmann's got a contract to 2023, which I believe is the same as Mourinho. Mourinho's obviously on £15 million a year. It's not going to be cheap to sack him. I wonder, however... Man,
that's some money.
Tell me about it. Great manager, isn't he?
20... Say he's got two seasons at $15 million. That's $30 million. Maybe he'll settle for 20.
So I don't know. Piss off. But I don't know. I've suspect the reaction at Crystal Palace has always made me so suspicious. That overreaction to finishing seventh in the fucking league and qualifying from the Europa League always made me so suspicious.
He's got a bonus.
No, like in terms of compensation to sack him, maybe they can sack him for a lot less money if he hasn't qualified for Europe.
That's my
point. That sort of thing could well be written into a contract, i.e. they can sack him for less if he hasn't won anything in a certain amount of time. Sack him for less if he hasn't finished top four. Sack him for less if he hasn't qualified for the Europa League. Drop down, down, down. So the compensation might not be as bad as it sounds, but at this minute in the time, if they sacked him now, with the season still to go, probably would be the full whack of $30 million. Is probably what they're trying to negotiate.
Well, you're not going to get into Europe this year, so we'll find out
exactly.
In the summer.
So we might be able to get rid of the prick for a lot less in the summer. The other name that's getting mentioned strongly is Brendan Rodgers. Now, Brendan Rodgers really divides opinion in terms of what people think about him. I would think about him, and I would think, if Brendan Rodgers came to Tottenham, could we win a Premier League title? And I would have to say, probably unlikely. Would the football be a lot better than what it is now? 100%. And could he tactically, and the way he coaches players and develops them, get us back into the top four? In my opinion, the answer to that, if he was given the time, would actually be, yeah, I would really fancy that he could do that. But a lot of people get really stigmatized by the way it ended at Liverpool and stuff, and the fact that they didn't get over the line and all that kind of thing. I think back to our
put them in the conversation, though, and they weren't even in the conversation before Liverpool.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the defence he had then as well, like Sacco and Skirtle and shit like that. Flanagan playing left back. I mean, it was the front three, Sterling, Sturridge and Suarez, yes. The three S's that went mental, that got them right in the race. But I think back about how I felt when Emery left Arsenal, and I was really worried that Rodgers was going to go there. And I think about that, and then you start questioning, why was I so worried about Brendan Rodgers going to Arsenal? And then I think about that, well, so why wouldn't I be happy if Brendan Rodgers came to Tottenham? And I think the answer is that I would be. If you said to me tomorrow Nagelsmann or Rodgers was taking over for Mourinho, I'd go, yes, please. I don't actually think twice about it. Nagelsmann is also unproven in terms of winning a league title or anything. The excitement about him is his age. He's 32. He's got loads of scope to development. There's the potential that he could go and build a dynasty like Pochettino was beginning to build. His team was bad in the Champions League last night, by the way, weren't they? Although he has got the best forward on the planet at the moment.
I mean, Mbappe will get you out of a hole any time. just out of interest, you're saying Nagelsmann's 32. I mean, how old was Villas-Boas when he came to you guys?
Oh, you've been dizzy. Villas-Boas is still trying to, he's still trying to get the gristle out of his teeth, isn't he?
He was young too, so age not necessarily always is a positive.
No. I think that's the particular excitement with Nagelsmann at the moment.
Getting a young
There's also Rose, who's manager. Doing really well at Mönchengladbach, who I know less about, to be very honest. I know more about Nagelsmann having played them in the Champions League last year. It's interesting that a lot of the Tottenham fans want him at the moment, and yet every time we play back three, we look fucking terrible, unless we're playing Sheffield United. But that's the one that most Tottenham fans want at the moment. But I think it's interesting that there's been a change over the last 7 days or so, when names are getting mentioned now. Whereas before it was a lot of, well, I wonder if his job's under threat. But if his job's under threat, I don't know who's being mentioned. Those are the two names, I can see the links in them. I can see the reasoning behind it. And I know what a lot of people, why would Brendan Rodgers leave Leicester for Tottenham? And it's a good question, right? He's got a better team, better squad at Leicester than what he'd have at Tottenham.
Oh, yeah. But obviously Tottenham is a much bigger football club with much more potential.
There's that. Plus, he knows what Mourinho's been earning.
That's true.
he's probably going to double his salary individually. You go and live in London, etc. You do get the chance to work with people like Harry Kane, etc. And the stadium and the size of the club, etc. Yes. So yes, of course, right now Leicester are in a better position. But if he was to manage Leicester or Tottenham for 10 years, who's he most likely to get the benefit of them and the returns of trophies, etc. out of? It is still Tottenham. So I think he would take the job. He walked out on Celtic like near the end of the treble, didn't he, to go and take the Leicester job? And I don't think he would hesitate to
step up.
And I think that if he came to Tottenham and then Manchester United came calling in 2 years, he'd jump and go to Manchester United as well. I just think that's the food chain and that's life, basically. Brendan Rodgers, I can see that. But it's something to revisit, I think, in May. Mourinho is not going anywhere till the summer.
Agreed.
By then, maybe COVID will have gone.
By then, he could have won two trophies, mate. League Cup and Europa League, and you'll be stuck with him for another season.
Mate, yeah. I'll kiss his ass if he wins both of them and then still call him a fucking bastard afterwards. Unlike Pochettino's ass, I would have kissed if he won the Champions League and held the door open for him. I'd kiss Mourinho's ass and then still tell him
to fuck
off.
Out the door. Oh, dear. Patreons, buy your tickets now for the Jose Mourinho leaving party, because I think it's going to be a big one when it actually happens.
Jelly and ice cream when Jose leaves.
We're going to be, we're going to have a Zoom party, James. You heard it here first. When Jose Mourinho leaves, we'll get as many patrons as we possibly want on one Zoom call and we'll all sit and have a drink together.
We've obviously got a number of Tottenham patrons. Yep, lads, girls, let's get that organised as and when, right? Yeah, let's have that party. I'll see you at that party in 2024, guys, when we've just finished 12th in the league for the second year in a row. But don't worry, we've been in the League Cup final 3 years in a row as well. Whoopie-doo.
Patrons, thank you for joining us on Tottenham. Do stay tuned for the Planet FPL Derby recap next week once the game is done and dusted. I think if we lose, I might not bother coming on.
just cancel it now. Just call it the truth.
That's it. Stay safe wherever you are. Thanks for all of your support. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Come on, you Spurs. Hear music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.